So hold up your Bible. Let's set ourselves up for success. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give God your best praise, would you? At home, give God your best praise. Amen. Y'all sound so good. Open your Bible today to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. Again, we were unable to have church last weekend. We had to cancel all of our services, but the 11 o'clock, normally on a weekend, we can have as high as 1,200 plus cars. Last weekend, we had 300 cars total. So you can see, you know, that if you weren't here last weekend, thank you for making up this weekend for that weekend. And, you know, it's just, you weren't here with us. We understand the weather, but you can still get last weekend's teaching, so you're right along in this series. Our first weekend, we talked about how we need to focus our life and get our life in sync, in frequency, and the zone, you know, with God, and how to do that. We gave you four questions that will get your life in order. And then the last weekend, we talked about how to follow God, how to follow God's voice, and I gave you four different ways that God speaks to you. Now, again, most of us weren't here, so you can go to our website. You can download it free on how to follow His voice. Today, I want to talk to you about how to filter God's voice. What do you mean, Pastor? How to recognize, is it God or is it me? Is it a demon or the devil? How do I discern that it isn't just me or just a friend or the devil or a demon? How do I filter? How do I know that it's God's voice? I want to help you with that today, because I want this year to be better than any other year of your life. Now, to do that, we need to hear God's voice clearer than any other time in our life. Because here's a powerful statement. I really believe the most important factor in your life this year is, in your future of this year, is to hear God's voice. The most important thing that you and I need to know better, that you and I, the most important factor in our future is to hear God's voice. And I want to make less mistakes this year than last year. I want accuracy. I want to be sharper. I want to develop my skill. I want to be closer. I want to be more in tune with God this year than last year. And I've got a feeling you're the same way. Amen, church. So it's important that we hear God's voice, because if we can't hear God's voice, then how can we have a relationship with God? You know, Kim and I, we've been married 45 years, but we wouldn't be married for 45 years if I couldn't hear her voice. How many know I'd be in big trouble if she was speaking and I wasn't listening and I wasn't hearing her voice? Well, you know, the same way as a Christian, I can't have a relationship with God if I can't hear His voice. And I won't last, I won't endure, I won't finish strong if I'm following God on someone else's instructions, someone else's relationship. If I'm trying to serve God through my parents' relationship, my grandparents' relationship, my pastor's relationship, my mentor's relationship with God, it will only last for so long. Can I have a witness in the house? You need your own personal relationship with God. And you can't have that without hearing God's voice. Now, let me give you three things right up front. It's important that we hear God's voice, because when we hear God's voice, now, you might be new to our church. You might be new to our church online. And you hear us talk about hearing the voice of God. And you say, what is that? What's up with that? We're not necessarily talking about an audible voice. Because, you know, I've served the Lord for 50 years, and very rarely have I ever heard God audibly. I mean, I can count on one hand, if that many times. But when we talk about hearing God's voice, we're talking about an inward, on the inside, an impression, and thought, an idea, a leading, a pulling, a still small voice, a bearing of a witness. Can I have an amen? Is that right, church? So we're not talking about, you know, that God speaks to us audibly like, you know, he did Moses on giving him the Ten Commandments up on the mountain. No, we're talking about inwardly, that God speaks to us. And, you know, God does talk to us through his word, the Bible, because the Bible is the word of God, the will of God, the voice of God. So we're talking about then, why is it important to hear his voice? Number one, it's proof that I'm a child of God. It's proof that I'm a child of God. And that's in the book of Romans, chapter 8. It says, you know, it tells us there that if I'm born again, if I'm a Christian, if I've given my life to Christ, the proof of that is that I hear his voice and we cry out, Abba, Father. Right? Number two, why it's important to hear God's voice is because God's voice gives you protection. God's voice gives you protection. I remember years ago, I was in Israel, and I was getting on the plane to come back home. I was in Tel Aviv, and I was on the tarmac. Back then, you'd get on the plane, you'd walk out on the tarmac, and, you know, go up the little escalator or the little steps ladder there to get on the plane. And all of a sudden, in front of me, this actually happened. In front of me, all of a sudden, the police came, and the sirens, and they came with their machine guns. Seriously, soldiers. I was standing in line. The guy in front of me, they came and grabbed him and threw him on the ground. He had a bomb in his backpack, and he was getting on the plane that I was getting on. Well, I didn't know, but at the same time, back here, Kim had an impression to pray for me. She called some of the prayer groups, said, let's pray for a pastor. You know, we didn't have cell phones back then. You know, it was in dinosaur age, you know. And she said, I know he's in trouble. Now, what was that? The voice of God, the voice of God. How many times that we don't even know that God's protected us and we had no idea? Last Sunday morning, you know, we had to cancel all of our services but the 11 o'clock service. And we got up to come, and Pastor Kim said, you know, my truck is bigger than your truck. How do you have a marriage of 45 years? Make sure your wife has a bigger car than... That's my marital counseling for today. Amen. So she said, my truck's bigger than your truck, and it's icy, it's snowy, and we got to get to church so we can tape, so we can continue the ministry for our people. Even though they can't be there, they can be there through our church online, and they can get it through the podcast. I said, okay. She said, I'm used to my truck, and you're not. Let me drive. I said, all right. Now, we did something we always do, and before we leave our house, we did it this morning at 5:30. We pray. Before we leave our house, we pray. I think that's pretty good, don't you? I think it's important you pray over your family, over your children, that before you don't leave home without it. It's kind of like that old credit card, you know. You don't leave home without it. So we prayed last Sunday morning. Why do we need to hear the voice of God? Well, it's proof that we're a child of God. Number two, it brings protection into our life. So we got in the truck, and we came, and I know you remember how many inches we got of snow. I cleaned the truck off, but I didn't clean the snow that was on top of the roof off because I thought it was frozen. I didn't think, you know, there'd be a problem, but we're coming in, and we were getting off the exit right there of 70, going 55, 60, and there wasn't much traffic, but we were going to get off of the ramp, and when we slowed the truck down, all the snow slid down over the windshield. Covered it up, couldn't see a thing. So, you know, I screamed, Kim, look out, because I saw the big sign that had the exit there. You might have seen it last weekend that was knocked down. We did that. Hit the sign, 55 mile an hour. Well, I'm thankful. You see, Pastor, thankful for what? I thought God was supposed to protect you. He did. Because, you know, what would have happened? I'm thankful there was nobody behind us on Interstate 70. I'm thankful there was nobody next to us getting off at that exit. I'm thankful that the airbags didn't blow up in our face. I'm thankful, you know, for all divine protection. It could have been a whole lot worse than it was. The third reason that we want to hear God's voice is for a productive life. And that's where you and I are going this year, right? The most productive life as a church and individually that we've ever had before. More fruitful than ever before. All right? So those are the three reasons. Now, let's look at John chapter 10 as our text. And you said, Pastor, you've been reading this every week. But I changed up the translation, the paraphrase. I've been reading it to you from the New Living Translation, but today I want to read it to you from the Message paraphrase because there's a word there that I want to pull out. Now, what I just gave you is a study aid. The more paraphrases you read the Bible through, the more translations you have, the more revelation you'll get. So I encourage you to have two or three, the New Living Translation, the Living Bible, the New International Version, the Amplified, the Good News Bible. There are all kinds of Bibles out there, paraphrased translations. If you get two or three, guess what? The Word will come alive to you. Okay? So let's look at it. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep, that's you and me, right, recognize his voice. So again, if I can't recognize, and that's what I want to talk about today, how do you filter? How do you recognize? Is it your voice, just you wanting it? Or is it a devil or a demon or another person? Or is it really God? And notice, if we can't recognize his voice, we can't have a relationship with God. So recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He can't lead me if I can't recognize his voice. He wants to lead us, but if I can't discern, recognize, filter his voice, then I'm going to miss out on where he wants to lead me. And he wants to lead you this year to great opportunities and great possibilities that your mind hasn't even imagined before. In Jesus' name. Next verse. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow him. They follow him because... How can we learn to follow him? Because they are what? That's the word that I wanted to bring to your attention. That's the word that I wanted to unpack. They know his voice, and they follow his leading, and they wind up where he wants to take them because they're familiar with his voice. How many know to become familiar, you got to be familiar? To become familiar, you got to have friendship. You got to have relationship. You got to make room. You got to make time. You got to be intentional. You got to be on purpose to spend time with that person, right? Yeah. So that word familiar. So we've been talking about how to get in the right frequency. Y'all remember me bringing that out? How on the mountaintop when I was hiking in Joshua Tree, Pastor Kim was trying to get a hold of me and she couldn't get a hold of me because there was no service for our cell phone on top of the mountain. So I wasn't in the right frequency. I wasn't in the right frequency. Sometimes we have trouble here at church, with the messages and the live streaming and all that we're doing and even the sound system, because there's so much things going on in the air, people on the internet, Wi-Fi in our community, that it disrupts the frequency. So you and I, we focused our life so that we could have the right what? Frequency. But I want to unpack that a little farther, a little more, that not only think of the word frequency as the right wavelength, but also being more frequent. How do we get into the right frequency? By frequently, every day, make it a ritual, routine, and a habit, spend time with God. So the more frequently, the more consistently that I'm at church, that I have a daily devotion, that I'm reading my Bible, that I have a praise life, the more frequently, the more often I do it, the closer I'll be to God, the clearer his voice, the better I recognize because I'm familiar. Are y'all with me? How that all flows together? Okay? So they're familiar with his voice. Verse 5. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because, look at this, they aren't used. You know, some Christians are more used to the world's voice than God's voice. Some Christians are more at home in the world than they are in the church. Some Christians can't distinguish the anointing, the move of God, when God's speaking, when God's moving, the gifts of the Spirit. They don't have a clue because they're more used to social media. They're more used to, you know, XM radio. They're more used to the world's way than the Word's way. But you and I are making the decision, I want to become more familiar and used to the anointing, the voice of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, than what the world's trying to pull me into. Well, it's getting quiet in this church. No, come on now. Does that make sense to y'all? Church online, church on the rock. Does that make sense to y'all right there? Wow. Some Christians are more spend more time with secular music, secular movies, secular this, secular that. They can't discern the spiritual. And you leave a service like this, and one of them says, "Woo, was it anointed? Oh, my goodness, God spoke to me today. Oh, my land, you know, my life has totally changed." And somebody sitting three rows behind him said, "I didn't get anything." But this year, you and I are changing all that because we're getting rid of the wrong voices to hear the right voice through our 21-day of prayer and fasting. Amen? Give the Lord a big praise, would you, for your breakthrough? All right, so how do we do that, Pastor? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dearly loved friends, don't always believe everything you hear on the internet. I just stuck that in there. Isn't that good? Don't believe everything you hear around the water cooler at work. Don't believe everything you hear just because someone says it. Well, this is good common sense, isn't it? Again, dearly loved friends, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says, "I've got a word from God for you." Man, if I listened to every word everybody had for me for the last 45 years, I'd be in trouble. I'd be somewhere that I don't want to be today. Amen, somebody. So it says, dearly beloved friends, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. So what are we supposed to do, Pastor? What does the Bible say? Test it. We are to test the spirits. We are to test, is it my spirit, their spirit, an evil spirit, or God's spirit? We're to test it. It doesn't matter. You know, we are to test it. Even if it comes from somebody that we respect and honor, you know, we're still to test it. I remember years ago, won't tell you who it was, but very famous minister in the other campus, very famous, worldwide known. I'm talking way up here. And he came into town, and he's a great man of God. He's still a great man of God. And he came into town, spoke for the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And Fred Noah, many of you remember Fred. Fred said, "Pastor, I want you to have him. Would you have him on a Sunday night?" I said, "I sure will. Now, he's written several books. He was on TBN at that time. There was no Daystar back then. He was known all over the world. Phil Stadiums, great guy, but I never met him. I come in on a Sunday night. He'd moved the pulpit. He'd moved this. He'd moved that. He had changed some things. He'd told ushers to do things. He was in the back room, in the green room. I walk in there. I'd never met him before. Fred introduces us. He stands up to me and he said, "Pastor Blunt, I have a word for you. You are not to be here any longer. You are an apostle. You are to leave here and go all over the world and plant churches." I said to him, "I got a word for you. I'm not going." Now, I wasn't being disrespectful, but I had to stand my ground. I had to say, you know, God hadn't told me that yet. Now, I'll put it on a shelf. If God wants me to be an apostle, now, a present-day apostle today would be a missionary who plants churches, okay? And I said, if God wants me to be an apostle, I'll go. Now, what I'm sharing with you is this. Man of God, he's still a man of God. I mean, oh my goodness, if I gave you his name, I mean, he has mentored the greats of the greatest of the greatest. Man of God, but he was totally off. He was totally off, all right? What does that mean? We all can be off. Hello, somebody. I've been off. Have y'all been off? I mean, I've been totally off from time to time. So what do we need to do? Test it. We need a filter. We need a filter system. So he said, test it to see first if it really is from God, for there are a lot of kooks out there around the world today. Can I have a witness, somebody? Okay, so let me give you the filter here. It's four ways how we filter to know the spirits. Is it an evil spirit? Is it my spirit? Is it a friend's spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? And here's how we know. Number one, four questions you ask yourself. Number one, does it agree? Now, you're going to think this is very, very simple, but I'm telling you, it's profound today. Does it agree with the Bible? I got to ask myself, because anything God says will always be in agreement with his word. Anything God says will always line up with his principles in the Bible. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. Some churches, some denominations in our nation today, they don't believe the Bible is the word of God anymore. There are churches within 2 miles of our church right here, mainline denomination churches that don't believe the Bible is the word of God anymore. Okay? So, you know, you might think, well, man, that's elementary. Not anymore. So we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm hearing, does it agree with the Word of God? You know, if it's new, it's not true. Come on, somebody. If it's new, it's not true. In other words, I got a new revelation for you. Where's it in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. I mean, I got it. I was at White Castle last night, and I got a revelation. Say it with me, if it's new, it's not true. See, if it's from God, it will line up with the Word of God. Does that make sense to everybody? We could elaborate on that, but we don't have the time. But I think enough is said. Number two, the filter. You know, like a filter, an oil filter in a car, or gas filter. You know, I'm having one of my classic cars all gone through right now, and it's being, you know, all the fluids changed and all the filters changed. And the guy who's doing it for me, he said, you know, Pastor, the fuel filter, it has three carburetors. I'm not going to go there, I promise you, but it's got three deuces on it, three two barrels, three carburetors. And he said, you know, the fuel filters are all clogged up, and that's why the gas isn't getting through. Hello? So it's the same thing. You and I want to filter so we know and can recognize, is this God's voice? Is it my voice? Is it an evil spirit or just a friend's voice? Number one, does it agree with God's word? Number two, will it make me more like Christ? Will it make me more like Christ? Now, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. One paraphrase says, we should think and act like Christ. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to make you and me like Christ. The goal of the Holy Spirit is not to make us goofy. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to make us think and act like Jesus. So I asked myself, will this make me more like Christ? Let me elaborate. Dating this guy, is it God's will? Well, if he's taking you away from church, it's not God's will. If he's taking you away from your daily devotions in the Word, it's not God's will. If your boyfriend or your girlfriend is drawing you away from the things of God, away from the house of God, away from the habits of God, then that is not a God idea. That is not God's will. Because if it's God speaking, it will always make me more like Christ. Pastor, I just feel like I'm to move to Florida or to California, or I'm to move to Nashville. Okay. I'm going to make more money there. Oh, man, the benefits. Okay. But do you have a church there? No, but we'll figure one out. Not God's will until you find a church there. Because any move, any relationship, any change in my life that doesn't make me more like Christ ain't, isn't, aren't God. It's the Bible. So the goal of the Holy Spirit is to make us more like Christ. So my relationships, are they making me more like Christ or less like Christ? My moves, my job, my career, what I'm doing, is it making me more like Christ or taking me away from the church, taking me away from my daily routine? That's how you discern. That's how you filter. Is this God or the devil or me or a friend? You still with me? Number three, how to filter if this is God's voice. Number three is get godly counsel. Get godly counsel. And look at Proverbs 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Here's what it says. Where there is no counsel, so we all need counsel, but I like John Maxwell, you know, that leadership guru, good friend, he has a teaching called Advice on Advice. I love it. Advice on Advice. And what he talks about in that teaching, John Maxwell, is that you need to be careful who you go ask advice for and from. Amen? You know, if you're going through marital problems right now, you don't want to go get counsel through some other couple who's going through the same thing. Amen. So you need to find out, you know, you need to make sure you're going to the right person at the right time for the right counsel and feedback. Look what it says, where there is no counsel, the people will fail or fall. We all need, as a filter, godly counsel. But in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. You know, so it's real important then we have godly counsel. Everybody say godly. But even when we get godly counsel, it's real important that you still test it. Because they can be going through a rough time and give you the wrong advice. You know, I've had great mentors in my life. Great mentors in my life that I've gone to and asked for counsel, and the counsel was wrong. I mean, it was way out there. It was wrong. They were my mentors. They were on my board. They were movers and shakers. They heard from God. But at that time, they were off. We all can be off from time to time. And, you know, if I look back on those situations, some of those mentors and godly counsel in my life, they were going through issues. They were going through drama. They were having trauma. It was influencing their judgment. You need to discern that when you're looking for godly counsel. Can I have an amen and a? I need a breath, and while I do that, can you give the Lord a big praise for His word today? Godly counsel. Well, Pastor, I want to know, how do you discern then godly counsel? How do you do that? I'm glad you asked that question. Let me give you the test. James chapter 3. James 3, verse 17. How do you know if the wisdom that you're getting through godly counsel is right on? Because again, I've had great, 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 great people in my life ask them for counsel, and it was, I didn't tell them, but it was way out there. It was way off. It would have never, it didn't connect, it didn't resonate, it didn't bear witness. And at that time, those who gave that to me, they were going through something. So it's real important that you're cognizant, you're discerning, you're aware that when you go ask somebody that you admire, honor, and respect, make sure that you understand what's going on in their life at the same time. Hello, somebody. That's good, solid wisdom. So how do you know that godly counsel is godly counsel? here's the litmus test. The wisdom that comes from above as the team comes out, first of all, it's pure. There's no malice. There's no get even. There's no get back. You know, I remember, you know, this is really precious. I won't give you the names, but two men in my life, one is still my board member. The other one has passed on. But I was going through a difficulty about 30 years ago. Seriously, everybody say 30 years ago. I went to the one gentleman who's still on my board, and I asked him, what do I do? I've never been here before. All this going on, the attacks, I've never been here before. He told me, he said, don't give it any time, don't give it any place. If you chase it down, it'll devour you. I said, okay. I went to another godly man, I'm talking godly, who was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth, okay? Godly man. And I went to him and I said, what should I do? He said, sue them for every dime they have. Put their name out there. You know, he said, get even, get back. Now, both of them, godly men, both of them, world changers, both of them, big voice in the body of Christ. But the one who told me, you know, get even, get back and sue them, go after those people, you know, at that time in his life, he was going through some stuff. Now, see, it wasn't pure. There was hurt and malice in his life that was coming through his counsel. I hope I'm helping somebody today. So you can test it pure, and then it's what? It's going to bring peace. It's gentle. It's easy to be applied. It's full of mercy. It'll produce good fruit. It's without partiality, without hypocrisy. Look at the litmus test. When you're getting godly counsel, goes on next verse 18, and fruit of righteousness, it's sown in peace to them that are and are peacemakers and making peace. Did y'all see that about godly counsel? Number four on the litmus test, number four on the filter is this. Is it what I'm hearing giving me peace? Because the Bible says, follow after peace. Wow. So if I'm following God, I'm following the Prince of Peace. If I'm following God's voice, it's going to produce peace, not anxiousness, not worry, not stress. You know, 35 years ago, when Kim and I came here and planted this church, we gave everything we had away. We used all of our money, all of our resources. We left our denomination. We lost all of our retirement. We lost all of our insurance. My wife was pregnant. We had nothing. Our family said we was crazy. Our friends said, don't do it. Our peers in the ministry said, you guys are wacky. You'll come back. It'll never work. But yet on the inside, we had perfect. We had no money. We had no support. We had 35 people. One of them is sitting down here right now of that time. And we had nothing but what? On the inside, we had no turmoil. We had no anxiety. We had no worry, no fear. We had perfect peace. That's how we knew it was God leading us here 35 years ago. So in your own life, you want to look at this filter. The first one was what? Does it agree with God's word, the Bible? Number two, will it make me more like Christ? Number three, get godly counsel. That's why we need small groups. We need to be part of a small group. Come on, somebody. We have small groups in our church. Did you know that? And we're getting ready to launch 25 brand new small groups. We need support. Why do I need to go to church? Because we need support. We need relationship. We need people to stand with us. We need people that we can tell our story to and it's safe. We need people that we can walk with and they won't judge us. They won't condemn us. They won't get down on us. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And then number four, is it producing peace in my life? And that's how you can recognize and discern and know, is it God? Is it the devil? Is it a friend? Or is it really me? I'm out of time. Did y'all get something today from the Word? Give the Lord a big praise.